Everyone, and welcome to the monthly Conscious Relationship Teleseminar. I'm Kim Morse, and I'll be your host for tonight's call. Tonight we have a very special topic. We're going to be speaking with Lori Rubenstein, and she's going to be sharing with us how we can dump your baggage and move free in love, how to have a drama-free relationship. So in this seminar, we're going to learn what the three baggage are, how we know we're ready to forgive, and we're also going. She's also going to share with us a very special healing forgiveness process. So before we get started, I would like to give a special welcome to those who are part of our Conscious Dating Online community. And if you are on the Conscious Dating Facebook page, you can post any comments or questions that you have on the page, and I'll relay them to Lori. And I also want to welcome the folks from the Better Marriages organization. We're hoping there's quite a few of you on the line tonight also. So we will also be opening the lines during the presentation and after so that you can ask any questions that you might have for Lori. So now, a little bit about Lori. Lori Rubenstein is a forgiveness teacher. She helps people to heal and then mend their lives after broken relationships. She's been a divorce attorney and mediator for 18 years, so she certainly has seen firsthand the products of divorce and the heartache that it brings, and she has dedicated her entire adult life to helping empower people who have been through this pain to find their way back to love. She's also the author of two books, the first one, Transcending Divorce, A Guide for Personal Growth and Transformation, and second one, Freedom from Abuse, Finding Yourself Again. And she's also currently working on her third book about forgiveness. And she also wanted me to mention that she's going to be touring around the country very soon in the fall with a group called A Course in Courage, where they help people move from victim mentality to victor mentality. So hello, Lori. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Kim. Thanks for having me, and hi, everybody. I know nobody can. Everybody's muted, so you can't say hi back.
That's right. Well, I'm really excited about this program tonight. So where would you like to start?
Thanks. Well, I'd like to start by telling everybody that it would be a great idea for you to get some paper and a pen or pencil out, because the second half of the class, you're really going to be taking some notes. And also, Kim, can you tell them there's you can write to me directly at lori@attorney-coach.com, and Lori is L-O-R-I. If you want a copy, there's a paper with some notes on it that you can get from the webinar site. Is that right?
That's right. On the attend event page, where if you were on the webcast, that's where you went to sign in, there is a document there called Seminar Notes, and that has your information there.
Okay, great. Thanks. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to speak about three different kinds of baggage that I, from my personal experience, is really one of those three things that get in the way of people having a really great relationship. And then we're going to move into a forgiveness process that will help you clear some of that up. So I'm hope that you're ready to really work tonight, because that's what we're going to do. And I want to start this with the thought in your head that a great marriage is built by two people being able to continually forgive. When I go around the country and I ask people, especially older people who have had long-term marriages, they tell me forgiveness on a regular basis is one of those things that really makes marriage work. So I want to start off with that and talk about what baggage is. You know, what is baggage? Because I think a lot of people think that it's about, you know, oh, I have an ex, or I've had a few exes, or, you know, I have kids from more than one relationship, or there's been addictions in the past, or diseases, or physical or emotional problems, and or let's say financial problems or self-esteem issues. And all of those things are baggage, but those are more like, those are the type of baggage that has happened to you in the past. For me, the definition that I want to deal with about baggage tonight is a past that keeps following you into the future, and it gets in the way of your happiness. And what I want to say about this kind of baggage is that it's totally in your control to change. So this is the kind of baggage that is internalized, and it takes effort on your part to replace it, you know, to get rid of that baggage. But you can do this. So, again, we don't want this baggage to get in the way of you having a healthy, happy relationship. So baggage number one that I want to talk about is the baggage of not trusting. So really, not trusting others starts with you being hurt. I know that, you know that. You might have been hurt by parents or a loved one or by many partners. And you know what happens when you get hurt by somebody? You have all these friends who say, yeah, he's a jerk, she's a jerk, I can't believe they did that. And there's this, like, chant out there that it's so easy for you to join in the chant with them. And this is what the chant sounds like. All men cheat. All men cheat. All women want is money. All women want is money. All women are users. All men want is sex. You know that story. You know that chant. And it's really easy when you get hurt to find friends of yours or relatives of yours that'll join the chant with you. And the truth is, you know, there's always someone out there who could hurt you. And what happens as a result of being hurt is you develop this defensive posture. And you push others away from you first so that you won't get hurt. And I know that if you were sitting here in front of me, I know your heads are nodding up and down going, yeah, because you know exactly what I mean. If you keep your walls up, you think you won't get hurt. And if you put other people down enough, that'll also stop you from hurting. But what happens is you end up being a victim of life. You know, you get so busy blaming other people. And whenever you're blaming other people, what that means is that you don't have the ability to control or the choice to change your own life because you're literally putting it in hands of others. And when you're blaming someone else, you're not realizing the truth. And the truth is that you really don't trust yourself. You don't trust that you can handle whatever comes your way. You don't trust your own picker. You don't trust that the person that you are will attract the person you really want in your life. And what happens? From there, you become that bitter, old, angry person who has lived that kind of life that nobody really admires. You know, you wonder what happened to all those fairy tales and all those dreams of your youth. And it's this downward spiral, you know, and it all is because you really stopped trusting yourself. And, you know, the deal with that is that everybody gets hurt eventually. Susan Jeffers, you probably remember that name. She wrote the book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. She'll tell you that courageous people are people who are really scared. But they are the ones who are willing to risk getting hurt. And I'll tell you what, this journey of forgiveness is all about being courageous. And it starts with being vulnerable to being hurt. And it starts with you knocking down the walls, knocking down your defense system. So that's number one, not trusting. Number two, the baggage that I want to talk about, is selling yourself short. So, you know, another thing, this is sort of like a close cousin, right, to not trusting. Another thing that happens when you get hurt enough is that you start enforcing these old core beliefs, those beliefs of I'm not good enough. You know, you've probably have seen it or have done it yourself, where you know people who have always chosen abusers or manipulators or drinkers or codependent people, people that you can control, or the same like financial losers, right? Or people who are liars or people with double life. It's when hurt really combines with picking losers in your life that your self-esteem goes down. It just goes down the toilet. And then what happens? You start lowering your expectations. Selling yourself short is actually, as I said, this close cousin to trusting. Yet, what we do is we say we're tired. We're tired. We're sick and tired of attracting the same kind of people over and over again. Yet, energetically, we're sort of making that happen because if I really believe inside of me that all I can attract is an alcoholic, then I'm probably still going to bars to meet people, and then, we attract an alcoholic. And we're shocked. You know, we're going, I can't believe I'm with another guy who's an alcoholic. And somehow we do the same thing over and over again, you know, expecting different results. So we get disappointed. And our disappointment grows and grows and grows, and we want to just toss in the towel and settle for less. And so, okay, so I guess the question at that point is, what do you do about this? When you want something different, you have to make the necessary changes to start attracting something different into your life. So we know from doing studies, we know that one of the most attractive qualities there are in both men and women is the quality of confidence. And, you know, it takes a real leap to go from I'm not good enough to I am a, you know, very competent person. And so you need to decide what kind of changes you need to make to move from I'm not good enough to being confident. And you may say, well, you know, I just have a bad picker. You know, my picker is off. And I'm going to tell you it goes a lot deeper than just the picker, you know. It really is about saying I'm attracting all these people in my life, and you can blame all those other people in your life. He's such a jerk. He's an alcoholic. This one's an alcoholic. This one's an alcoholic. Or you can say, the truth is, the common denominator in all of these cases is me. There's a story about, you know the story about I keep attracting these princes. I get this prince, and within 6 months, they're frogs. And, you know, how is it that all these men turn into frogs? And, I know I'm sounding sexist, but I'm a woman, you know, so I have to talk from that direction. And the common denominator, again, is it's not the men turning into frogs. It's that you have turned them into frogs. What are you doing in your relationship with other people? You have to start asking that question. It's so easy to blame other people. But the truth is you have to look at yourself. And when you start feeling like a victim, you know, like it's happening to you, what are you going to do? Again, you're going to put those walls up that we were just talking about earlier, and you're tired of it. So what I'm here to say is that forgiveness can help you with this scenario too. Forgiveness helps you to stop blaming other people for your past hurts. Okay, I want to say that again. Forgiveness helps you to stop blaming others for your past hurts and allows you to release your inner victim, as well as forgiving yourself for living from that core belief of I'm not good enough. So, you know, when you think about that, this is amazing stuff, I have to tell you. And I've seen it over and over again. You know, it's you can work for years going to counseling, or you can start learning how to forgive, how to stop blaming other people. And once you take responsibility for your piece in this, you're changed. It already happened. You're no longer the victim. And you're going to attract people from a very different class of people, from a different type of person. You're not going to attract the same people anymore because you're so different. So that is number two. And number three is about not having good boundaries. And isn't that an interesting, I take along with me the baggage of I don't have good boundaries. And boundaries, we know, make for really good, solid, healthy relationships. So often if you're working at trying to make a relationship work, what happens is you try to fit into the other person's life. You might bend and bend and bend and sell yourself short, and then you end up feeling like this martyr, you know, your needs weren't met. I know that you know what I mean, right? So here's the thing. You can write this down. We teach people how to treat us from the very beginning of a relationship. And it's so important to remember that on your very first date. If you want someone to open the door for you, you need to speak up and say that. If you want somebody to speak kindly to you, you need to say that. And if you don't, and they treat you like crap, and then 6 months later, you're upset because somebody's speaking to you abusively, putting you down, not opening the door for you, you know, whatever it is, the only person you have to blame is yourself. Because one, you stayed with that person, and two, you didn't teach them how to treat you. So, and I know I'm not saying probably anything that you really don't know, because you probably have seen this too, but it's a really good reminder that at the beginning of a relationship, many people disregard their own needs. Later on, becoming, you know, sort of controlling maniacs trying to get their needs met because they didn't teach their partner. So I'm going to give you, I came up with three little tiny examples. But it's something to look at in yourself. So let's say you go out to dinner with someone and you order something on the menu that you really don't want, but you do that because you're afraid that what you want is too expensive. Another little example is you stop seeing your friends because your new partner doesn't like them or is jealous. And here's another example that I've seen over and over again. You stay up really late past your bedtime to talk to this person on the phone because that's the time they prefer. And you have trouble getting to work and staying focused the next day. You're really tired. But you're in that lovey-dovey state and you're doing something that you know is not good for you. The boundaries really start with knowing what you need and getting those needs met. I'm going to say that again because you can write this down. Boundaries start with knowing what you need and getting your needs met. So if you need 8 hours sleep, then you have to actually say that. If you're a vegetarian and you don't like hamburgers, speak up. Don't go to the hamburger joint. You know, if your family and friends are important to you, you have to say so, and you have to maintain those relationships. So here's something that you can totally write down. If somebody loves you, they want your needs to get met. If the right person for you, so let me take away the if, sorry. The right person for you is not going to drop you because you need to get to sleep a little bit earlier or because you're a vegetarian. don't be silly when you start dating somebody by bending and pretending you're something that you're not. Because what happens is you're only going to get resentful, and you're going to beat that person up eventually, and you're going to beat yourself up. You're going to become, you know, this aggressive, manipulative person that you really don't want to be. So if you can do this at the beginning of a relationship, speak up, tell people what you need, that's great. You don't want to, you know, it's just being that crazy martyr person is so unattractive. You just don't want to do that. So, you know, forgiveness can really release this bitterness and allow the attractiveness back into your life. You know, once your frustration is gone, then you can start setting up boundaries with grace. And you can speak to future partners with self-confidence and with clarity. So you need to know what your boundaries are, and you need to speak up. If you're in a relationship already where your boundaries have been totally mangled, then you need to forgive. You need to forgive them. You need to forgive yourself for not speaking up. And then you need to start on a new path of speaking up for yourself. One of the things that we learn in coaching school is that the past does not equal the future. And while the past can equal the future, it is within your control, 100% within your control, to say, my past does not have to equal my future. The bottom line is that sometimes you put up walls not to keep people out, but to see who cares enough to break them down. Because what you really want is to feel love. Walls and fortresses of love and fear and fortresses of fear and hurt and hatred and frustration cannot attract love. And worst of all, you know, you don't let yourself love others when you're so busy controlling things and protecting yourself and planning your defensive mode, you know, moves all the time. And the truth is we have become a nation, at least in the U.S., of people who are stuffing our feelings and avoiding them, thinking that you're going to be protected. And we know that it really does not work for us. So I'm ready to move into the area of forgiveness. And I am thinking that if we want, we can ask for somebody, if they want, to volunteer to go through the 4-step living with forgiveness process.
Okay.
So what do they need to do to unmute themselves if they want
okay,
to?
Okay, I'm just going to open up the line. And so now we're going to put it in. Everybody can now speak. So if there's someone out there that would like to volunteer to go through this with Lori, speak up.
Hi, well, it's Lori Sarah from New Jersey.
Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Overall. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So we're going to use Lori Sarah. How do we do that? Is there a way to mute everyone else and not her?
Well, just to have her go ahead. If someone's making too much noise, I can mute out just that one person. So.
Oh. Okay. Or we can ask everybody else to put, if the star 6 work for them?
Yes. If everyone else could do star 6 to mute yourself.
That's great. So for everybody, while Lori and I go through this together, what I want is for you to also go through this yourself. You know, start thinking about your own situation and the things that you want to forgive. So the secret to all this is to know that the situation that hurt you, the relationships that hurt you, can now become an inspiration for your healing. And that sometimes you need these things, this impetus, to heal something that's down deep inside of you. So, Lori, I want you and everyone else to just take a deep breath in slowly and release. So there is some noise in the background. If anyone else is still unmuted, if you can hit star 6, that would be awesome. Take another deep breath in, and I want you to drop into your heart space. So, Lori, I'm going to talk a little bit about forgiveness before we start the actual process. So just tune into what I'm saying. So forgiveness is very important because it really frees you from being a victim. And it puts you back in control over your life, over your own future. It releases the hurts of your past so that you can move into the future with peace and find peace. Some common misperceptions about forgiveness is that it lets someone off the hook. It's weakness in yourself. Sometimes we think that if I forgive, it means that I have to forget about what happened or that I have to stupidly trust that person again. For me, what stopped me in forgiving is I believed the misperception that I needed to condone their behavior, that what they did was okay, or that I would feel peace instantly. And the truth is, forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person or what they did to you. It is 100% about you and about taking responsibility for your own actions and feelings. It's about you not letting hurt and anger take you over and getting yourself out of the victim role because you stop the blaming behavior. So forgiveness really comes from a place of strength and courage, resolve and responsibility. And like a muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it becomes. One of the things I really love about forgiveness is it gives you the ability to see that you can be hurt and you can bounce back. And that is where self-confidence comes in. That things can happen to you and you can bounce back. And that's one of the things that forgiveness really does for you. So from the spiritual perspective, you know, you don't really get hurt. Somebody acts and you choose how to respond. And the truth is, from a spiritual perspective, their actions are actually a gift for you so that you can heal something in yourself, so that you can grow and you can learn. And I just love forgiveness because I've seen so many miracles. I mean, I've seen angry couples in the middle of lawsuits stop and start treating each other decently and become the parents that their children need. And I've seen people find peace where there was only pain. So I can tell you, I mean, as a witness, forgiveness is absolutely a spiritual path back to opening your heart and finding your way back to love. So with this four-step process that I've developed, this will be you are the first group who is hearing my four-step process. So I'm really excited about this. And I've called the process Living with Forgiveness. And it's going to come out in the book that's coming out in the fall. It's called Forgiveness, Healing Your Past and Finding the Peace You Deserve. And I'll be doing this process again, over and over again, actually, in a 3-part workshop I'm going to be doing with Eileen Barker, who, amazingly, is also an attorney turned mediator turned forgiveness teacher. We have the exact same background. and we're going to team up for a three-part workshop on healing divorce. So if you know anybody who's going through a divorce or has been through a divorce but hasn't moved on with their life, send them to us. And if you want any notification, you know, about the book or the workshops that are coming up, you can go to LoriRubenstein.com. So here is the four-step process. And the little word that I'm using for people to remember it is "arr," like it's, if you can picture a dog with a rope in their mouth, A-R-G-G, and like they're going "arr," it really, it stands for acceptance, responsibility, gifts, and gratitude, A-R-G-G. Okay, so we're going to get to the process now. So I want you all to think about, and Lori, you to think about something that is getting in the way of your happiness. It could be baggage that we were just talking about, or it could be something else. But it's something that gets in the way of you living the life that you want to live now. So step one is acknowledgement and acceptance. Living with forgiveness doesn't mean being perfect. It doesn't mean like being, oh, so spiritual and so enlightened. It means recognizing our humanness, recognizing and accepting our own personal traumas. So the goal here is to recognize your feeling when you're feeling hurt, anger, bitterness or resentment, acknowledge the feelings for they are real. So sometimes we're not ready to forgive because we're not even ready to accept that what happened happened. So Lori, I'm going to ask you, what is it that happened that you need to accept, and do you accept it?
Yes, I'm in the process of a divorce because of infidelity, of adultery, and it happened years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been married 28 years, and then just in the last 2 years, many things have come up that things are, you know, happening again. It's like a cycle that has happened in my marriage with my husband, and so I need to forgive him so I can move on.
Okay, so you accept that the truth is, there has been adultery.
Yes. I know for sure there is in the past, but things have come up recently within the last couple of years. You know, more than one person, it's like, you know, four people have come up to me to tell me stories. So I have to accept it. And I filed for divorce, but I haven't released myself because some part of me doesn't believe it either.
Okay.
And so my husband tries to tell me it's not true and people are, you know, not telling the truth. But two of the people that spoke to me actually worked in his office.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you accept that your marriage is over?
I'm struggling with that. But just in the last week, yes, I do accept that. I believe that's a huge necessary step.
Yeah, I think it is too. So whether there is the truth of the adultery you might not know about, but what you do know is that you feel, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, but you need to know to move forward whether or not what you feel is true, and that is that the marriage is over.
I feel the marriage is over, yeah. It's not a healthy relationship for me.
Okay. Whether or not the fact of adultery has occurred or not recently.
Right. Yes.
That's what I'm hearing from you. Okay.
Yes.
So I can just imagine for other people listening to this, they're also struggling with their own issue, so that the fact is, whether or not she can prove that there was adultery, in her mind, the marriage is over. So that is the fact that she's acknowledging and accepting, my marriage is over. So step two here is the personal responsibility. And Lori, you're going to love this. Everybody, I swear, we did not even choose this person, but this is what I wrote down on my notes to talk about. if somebody cheats on you,
go ahead.
Remember that they acted and they did something. And how it affects you is entirely your choice, your decision. The act itself, I know that some people are going to have a hard time with this, but the act is neutral because you can give it any feeling or meaning that you want. For example, it could be neutral, it could be painful, it could be a relief to you. You can actually look at this and choose the meaning that you give it. So looking at yourself in this situation, what is your piece that you need to take responsibility for?
Not honoring myself or loving, you know, myself enough to be continuing in a relationship that is not giving me my needs met, I guess. The love and the needs are not being met. Responsibility of accepting that it's not healthy for me to be in a situation like that. It's not good for me.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you felt that you stayed in a relationship that was not healthy or good for you?
Oh, I've been married 28 years, probably 26 of those years, a long time.
Wow.
But I stayed in it for the children.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. I totally hear that.
And I need to forgive myself for doing that because it definitely did not serve the greater good.
Right, but yeah, and there was a lot. And I think as you go through this process, you're going to see that there was also a lot of good that did come from it. But the biggest piece of it for you was not speaking your truth up front and allowing it, you know, there's just stuffing it. We were just talking about stuffing things, right? Stuffing, stuffing, stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm getting the sense of, from the stuffing that you were doing, were there any health issues as a result?
Yes, I had my appendix out in 2001. Overall, I'm pretty healthy, though, but I've had weight gain. There you go.
Weight gain, yeah, right?
Since 2001, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because usually when you don't speak your truth and you're not acting in integrity for yourself,
mm-hmm.
it starts showing up in other areas of your life. So step three in this is, now obviously if somebody was going to work with me one-on-one for, you know, we would get deeper than this, but this is perfect for this call now. So step number three is finding the gift. And there are many places to discover the gift in all aspects of our relationships. So it's usually found in the personal responsibility piece, or like in a spiritual aspect. So one of the great things that I know about when people go through divorce, because I was a divorce attorney for 18 years and then I've been doing, you know, mediation for the last 10, one of the real great aspects is spiritual growth, personal growth. We start asking those questions, who am I? What is my life purpose? And you know, we really want to get deep and see the lesson. So I'm going to ask you to go deeper, Lori, than just what people will always say is, my kids are my gift from this relationship. I'm going to ask you to not say that, because we know that that's true, but to go even deeper than that. What did you get from this relationship?
The ability to, what did I get from this relationship? That's a great question. The ability to awaken, that's the word I want to say, and actually develop myself and love myself from within on deeper levels. And I actually went back to college at 44 and, you know, my doctorate at 48. And now I own my own business. So it catapulted me to expand myself.
Wow. That's awesome.
And also to do prayer and meditation and really, you know, ask for self-love and honor for myself first.
Mm. So the divorce is actually sort of the, it's like the culmination for you of yourself, developing self-love and doing, and honoring yourself, doing what you need to do.
Right, because I believe in the beginning of the relationship, everything was geared around what he wanted to do, and I was very codependent and had no idea about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So those are beautiful gifts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I'm able to see the growth, especially in the last 4 years of as I grow, I can help others.
Mm. And so can you look at him and even the impetus of whether he cheated or not, but the impetus of that situation and say thank you?
Yes, I can.
Because that's really step four. And it's what we want to do is we want to live in the energy of feeling and appreciating the gift, you know, because when we accept the gift and realize this person is put into your life to be that impetus for your growth. You know, what is happening right now, whether it's true or not, which is interesting, it doesn't even matter whether it's true or not. It is still, you know, other people coming into your life, telling you that this is happening, knowing that his behavior is the same as it was years ago. That can be the spark for you to wake up and say, enough is enough. I need to speak my truth. I need to open up. I need to, you know, find my spiritual calling, whatever it is, and I can be grateful for that.
Yes. I like the steps. It's very good.
Yeah, and so when you live in that place, so one of the things I'm going to say to you is when step four is really about living in that place of remembering that there's a gift here. And if you can continue to remember your gift, you can actually go through this divorce process. I bet you will fly through the process and not get caught up in all the BS, because if you stay in that place on a spiritual level, if you're not holding him responsible for the cheating and trying to punish him and trying to get back at him, on the spiritual level, your souls can come to an agreement, a gratefulness of thank you, my husband, for coming into this world and being willing to be the bad guy for me so that I can move on with my life. And by the way, I also want you to be able to move on with your life and find love, the love that you deserve.
Yes.
Can you see how that can be such a different divorce process than other people's processes that you might have heard about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But he doesn't want the situation, and I want out, and he doesn't. And so he brings confusion into, you know, the situation. But I feel I have to follow my heart at this point.
Right. And if you can follow your heart with that, this process of love, and openness and acceptance and not blaming, but being grateful, it will translate to him. So if you could let go of that, even needing to prove that he cheated or not, you know, so a lot of people need to go through their divorce process and they need to create something wrong to get divorced. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to find a hook, you know, to blame somebody. And one of the things I've learned is if you could not make it his fault, but just say, you know, really, whatever happened has happened. I still love and appreciate you for coming into my life and giving me all these amazing gifts. And we have children together. We're going to have grandchildren together. You know, we're going to be going to graduations and birthdays and celebrations and weddings. And, you know, let's really remember that this life is all about personal growth, not about retaliation.
Okay, I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I think, let me ask him this question. You know, that really is what the process looks like. And, of course, you know, you get deeper and deeper into it when you go through the book. Kim, I have like a maybe 5-minute meditation I can put on here, or we can open up to questions. And I'm sort of feeling like maybe we want to open up to questions since we only have 10 minutes left.
Okay. Can you please repeat for us the 4 steps again and what they are?
Sure. So the first step is acceptance and acknowledgement. So it's really acknowledging what happened with an acceptance to it. You know, like this,
right.
The marriage is over. Step 2 is taking personal responsibility. So personal responsibility, you know, when somebody cheats on you, you sort of say, well, how do I take personal responsibility? I can tell you, for me, I really understood that when my husband cheated on me, part of my responsibility that I learned was I had been behaving like a mother, you know, more than a wife. You know, I was really controlling and, I mean, there were so many things that I learned. And, again, my story's in the book, so, you know, you can find it there. But, you know, and then Lori here just said that her personal responsibility was not speaking up for herself.
Uh-huh.
So those are, you know, both really good examples of that. Step 3 is finding the gift, and there is always a gift. In every single situation, there's a gift. You know, whether it's a rape, a murder, I mean, horrible, terrible things, an accident, a maiming, you know, the horrible things happen, and there's always a gift. And in my book, there's like 5 or 6 stories that are like, you know, you read them and you go, oh, my God, I cannot believe that this person forgave. But you can see that, you know, their gifts are, it's almost always about that personal spiritual growth and, you know, opening up to knowing that they are so much more than just this little human body of a person that we are. And step 4 is gratitude, and it's living in gratitude constantly. And so, you know, what that really looks like is taking those walls down, being able to be vulnerable, living with hearts open, and being grateful for the little things, you know, for the cat that crawls on your lap in the middle of the day, for the person who stops so that you can move into traffic, you know, saying those little thank yous all through the day. Remembering to be, just to be grateful. I'm healthy. I'm able to get out of bed. I live in a country where I have enough food to eat. I mean, hello, there's so many people who don't have that.
Right.
So, you know, it's really living from that place. And when you live from a place of gratitude, it's so easy to forgive because you realize everything is good.
Okay, so we have acceptance, responsibility, find the gift, and gratitude. I got that right?
Yes.
Okay. One other thing, though. What if someone just doesn't really know if they want to forgive? Where's the first step there?
You know, the first step is really in understanding what forgiveness is so that you can make the choice. So if I think a lot of people don't want to forgive, mostly because they think that it condones the behavior, that what the other person did was okay. They're going to send the wrong message to the other person, that what they did is okay. And when you really get that piece of that forgiveness is for you to live in peace, it's a whole different story. I mean, I used to sit there and watch those people on Oprah forgiving, you know, the person who murdered their father and, you know, the person who raped them, talk about forgiveness. And I remember being angry. How dare they forgive? You know, I'm going to stay angry because I want to punish that person. So I'm going to stay angry for them. And, you know, that's really what I believed. I mean, I was part of the, you know, the so-called justice system. I mean, talk about anger and retaliation and retribution. You know, it's not a very healthy way to go. And I, you know, once I got the idea that it's not about them, but it's about me, and I'm doing it for me because it's the only way I can feel peace in my life. I can't change the past. None of us can change the past, and we can spend an entire lifetime wishing and hoping that our parents were different, our grandparents were different, that he loved me more, that she didn't leave me, that I didn't make that turn and, you know, get into that car accident. I mean, we can spend our entire lifetime wishing that things were going to be different. And they're never going to change. We can't change the past. So we have to forgive so that we can have a future that is filled with love and peace, because that's, it's just what we want. You know, we don't want to live with anger and bitterness in our hearts.
Wow, I think that these steps and what you're talking about is just so very important, because people just can't move on without this. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so honored. I mean, and you know, we say that word, but I am telling you, I am so honored to do this work.
Well, we're honored to have you speak about it and share it with us.
Thanks.
So if you would like, we'll go ahead and then open it up for questions.
Sure.
Okay. We'll just, and if you muted yourself, you will have to unmute yourself. There
so
we go.
Star six,
okay, everybody's unmuting. Oh. Yeah, everybody's unmuted. So if you have a question for Lori, please speak up and ask it. She's really shared a lot of herself, I think, tonight. And thank you so much also from Lori from New Jersey for sharing her experience, too.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's interesting. I feel more peace after going through the process. So thank you, Lori. And I know a lot of this stuff, but to sit and walk it out and talk it out with intention to walk in peace and love through a difficult challenge will hold me accountable, but also put me in a place of rest opposed to striving or trying to figure things out in my mind.
Yeah, and to know that a miracle can happen. One of the things that I put in the document that you can download is a prayer that was inspired by Marian Williamson with me, and it's a prayer, you know, where you're really asking for a miracle and asking for forgiveness. So it's something that you can also use every day.
I see it. It's on your website.
What?
It's on the website on the notes. So
yeah, it's on the notes. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a downloadable. It's an actual web page. So if you go and you click on it, you'll get the web page.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Lori, this is Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Great. Really, I appreciate this teleseminar. It's really wonderful. Love your energy. And I had a question about the third part of the third step, which was finding the gifts.
Yes.
Now, I understand, wanted to know pretty much like what, if you can give us some clarity around some more of those gifts that people can receive out of it. I understand like maybe the physical gifts that people receive, but what are some of the other gifts that people receive out of it that would be the opposite of the retaliation? Or are they gifts something like patience, things like that? Or
yeah, I mean, patience can be one, but really it's more like remember when I was talking about self-confidence, so knowing that you can be hurt and recover from it, and what a great gift that is, that you don't have to put walls up, that you know that you can be vulnerable and open in future relationships, even though you've been hurt before, because you know you can recover from that. Like, that is an amazing gift. Or for me, I started asking, you know, those questions. I mean, this is what's so great. Who am I? What is my purpose here? You know, why am I here? If I'm not so-and-so's wife anymore, who am I? You know, and one of the things that I learned after I went through my divorce, I always thought that my ex-husband was this really great teacher out there in the world, and I really admired his being a teacher. And in a million years, I would not have used that word, teacher, for myself. Like, never, 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 never. And I learned that I am a natural teacher. Like, oh, my God. You know, if we didn't get divorced and go through all of this, I would never have known that. I learned that I was capable of taking care of myself and my children alone, something I never thought I could do. Other people who have had, you know, these amazing experiences, like really horrible, horrible experiences, where, you know, where somebody that they loved was murdered, for example, they learned learned things like, they are not a body, but they are spirit in a body, and that their spirit self can take over when their human body wants to give up. Like, you know, I mean, that's so powerful. Can you see where I'm going with that? You can learn integrity, like standing up for, like what Lori was just saying earlier, standing up for yourself and speaking your truth, like learning how to do that, is humongous.
I get that, and I see then how it flows into gratitude, because then it's like, well, thank you for giving me that gift. And it was what it seems to be is that the gifts are very much unforeseen, because you go from an unforgiven state, let's say, to forgiveness and through the steps, and then this is what you learn out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. When you realize that a partner, let's say, you know, a love partner, a spouse, comes into your life, they can very well be coming into your life to help you heal a childhood wound, you know, a childhood trauma of being, let's say, rejected or abandoned, if we use that one, a pretty common one. So, you know, whether you had a parent who abandoned you or was an alcoholic or something like that, and then you marry somebody who brings up and triggers those same issues in you that you had as a child, they're bringing it up actually so that you can heal it. And so when they open that wound again, there's an opportunity for healing to happen. And if they didn't do it, you would never have healed that wound. So then you go, thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing me to heal that wound. Now I don't have to attract that in my life anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so does that give you some good ideas on the gifts?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yep, that makes total sense.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Danielle.
Are there any other questions? Okay, if anybody wants, you can, again, go to my website. It's Lori Rubenstein, and it's RubenStein.com. And if you can sign up for my newsletter. I'll announce the book when it comes out, and that teleclass that I was talking about, and other classes that I'm doing. And there's a forgiveness video. I was part of like a miniature TED Talk that we had here in Sedona about 6 months ago, and that TED Talk is on the front of my website, so you can just click on it and get some more examples of forgiveness.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more about the tour that you'll be doing in the fall?
Yeah. This has just been so amazing. This woman, her name is Lori Rutkowski. She is putting together... She wrote a book called A Victim No More, and she's putting together a group of about 30 people to go around the country and tour on helping people move out of the victim mode and into what we call the victor or the thriver mode, how to no longer be a victim in your life. And of course, I'm going to be going speaking about forgiveness, and especially forgiveness as it relates to divorce, because, so many people are like the walking wounded,
Yeah.
They're hurt, right. And they have these walls up, and they're hoping somebody's going to knock them down, but they keep fortifying them, and they're not getting knocked down. So what I've really learned is that forgiveness is an amazing method, an amazing way to help people knock those walls down and to open their hearts back to love again. I'll be doing.
Good. So if someone wants to see the tour, how would we find out about it?
Again, sign up for my newsletter, because I will be putting information about that. I know, for example, we're starting in Sedona, which is great for me, and I think we go to maybe St. Louis or Utah or San Antonio, over the next few weeks, and then we're up in the Seattle area. I think they're going to Syracuse, just really all over the country over the next few months.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
That sounds really, really cool, really interesting. Well, thank you so much, Lori. Again, I can't tell you how much I think this means to all of us. It's really been a very moving seminar. I think it's given a lot of us things to think about in our lives and whether we're moving forward or not and whether we've been able to forgive. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are so welcome, and many blessings to everybody on the call. And I'll look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Great.
Thank you, Lori.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Well, I want to thank everyone for being here on our monthly Conscious Relationship Seminar. I want to mention that these seminars are a part of our Conscious Relationship Seminar series and podcast. So to see how to listen to recordings of the past seminars, we are going to have this available also as a recording. You can go to consciousrelationshipseminars.com, and there you'll be able to find out how you can listen to all of the past recordings that we have had, Lori's and all the ones that we've done in the last
couple of years, actually. So also, if you're not part of our Conscious Dating online community, we would like to invite you to do so. It's free, and all you need to do is go to consciousdating.com. And there are many benefits, including our Facebook community page and lots of great resources about conscious dating. And we even have a team of mentor coaches there to help you if you're part of this community. Remind everyone about the new smartphone app. Yes, we have an app. It's called the Conscious Dating app, and you can get it on iPhone or the Android. So it's a great tool, lots of resources there. It also tells you about our upcoming seminars. So that's another place where you can find out about it. So thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you again, Lori. And we'll see you all next time.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Everybody.
You still there?
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the